About 8 years ago, a little before supper time, I decided to take a brief canoe trip on the Elkhart River. The water was a little higher than normal, but I did not, as I looked at the circumstances surrounding this event, anticipate any problems. Nobody was with me. I decided not to wear a life jacket, and my short outing, my brief trip, went fine until I was about 50 yards from my stopping point. I've canoed some over the years, and I've never had an experience like that evening. Something was taking place in the water that caused my canoe to flip. And not only did it flip without warning, I was actually thrust out of the boat several feet away from the canoe. Because I ended up in the middle of the river and the current was fairly swift that night, I had to let the boat go. Tried to push it toward shore, that didn't work, and I thought, the boat's going to have to go. So I let the boat go. The water was swift enough that getting to shore was difficult. It was exhausting. And when I finally got to some land, I happened to be at a spot where there was pretty much a sheer cliff of dirt in front of me. I was at a point where my body was still partially submerged in the water, able to hold on to a couple sticks at the base of that cliff. And as I looked at the cliff, it was clear that there was really not anything to grab onto, a little to hold at the bottom, but that was about it. As I sat there studying the situation, the chill from the water was having obviously some effect in my body. And as some time passed, as no one heard my cries for help, it dawned on me that I had one of two options. Option number one was to stay in that spot and likely die. Option number two was to somehow make it up that cliff, which was essentially a bare chunk of dirt. Now, I shared this story, which is true in every detail, with the folks at Columbia City Lecture at the Columbia City Congregation yesterday due to the lectureship. And I shared that information, which I don't think is known to anybody but Teresa, at least until now. I shared that information to illustrate how there are some times in life when we have one of two choices. Choice number one is that we're going to stay in a situation or stay in a set of circumstances. Choice number two is that we're going to get out of that set of circumstances. We're going to leave. Sometimes in life, those are the two choices, those are the two alternatives that we have. And we see this demonstrated in a lot of different ways. If a young person goes to an event, maybe a party, and they're at that party and they didn't anticipate that alcohol was going to be offered there or drugs were not going to be available there, and that turns out to be the case, they must decide, am I going to leave, am I going to stay? If they decide to leave, then friends might look upon them as being stuck up or rude. But if they stay, then they might be viewed as people who endorse the behavior. When young people go off to college, and we've had that experience with several families here, a young person might be in college for 6 months, maybe a year, and things are not going very well, and the young person has to decide, am I going to stay in school, or am I going to leave and do something else? Jobs. Several here work outside the home, or have worked outside the home in the past, and maybe you've had a job which, because of the circumstances surrounding that employment, you had to decide, you had to look at that job and say, I don't like it. Am I going to leave or am I going to stay and endure things that are very difficult for me? If you look at a congregation that has elders, given enough time, they may look at their situation one day and say, I'm not sure I want to continue to serve. Should I leave the role of an elder or should I stay? Should I continue serving in this way? And then, most of us who are at least 20 years or older have seen someone who has looked at this question through the perspective of marriage. Should I stay in my marriage or should I leave my marriage? These are serious questions. These are serious choices that face people throughout lives. And you know, sometimes the choice when it comes to leaving or staying even applies to the church. There are this day surely some people sitting in pews somewhere who are asking the question, should this be my last church service? I'm thinking about leaving the Christian life. I'm thinking about leaving the church. Should this be the day when I leave? Or should this be the day that I choose to stay? When it comes to the question, should I leave or stay? We have a question before us that cannot always be answered in the exact same way. I've known some young people who have decided to go to school and they decided to stay when they should have left. Or they left when they should have decided to stay. I've known of families over the years, various circumstances where they decided to stay in the place where they were living or stay in some other set of circumstances when they should have left, and vice versa. When it comes to decisions that we're going to face that have these two options, and they will come to us at various times, what should we do? Well, this morning, of course, I want to first point us to God's Word and then look at some things from it specifically that will help us make these choices. We begin by noting that when we make these kinds of choices, as well as any choice in life, we want to make sure that we're trying to live according to God's Word. So, the first thing that we want to note, and this is, I think, on the outline that you have, is pay attention to God and His will. When we look at the Old Testament, the book of Joshua, we have in the final chapter of this book, Joshua chapter 14, some information about this great man of God. It's in Joshua 24 that we are told that this man was 110 years old when he died. Before Joshua died, and I think most are familiar with this, Joshua 24:15, Joshua said, you've got to make a choice. You've got to make a choice as far as leaving or staying, and this choice affects your relationship with God. So in Joshua 24, verse 15, maybe one of the most famous statements in this book and even the Old Testament, Joshua said, choose you this day. You decide if you're going to leave God and serve these other pagan gods, or you decide if you're going to stay with God and reject these pagan gods. Well, that's a great statement. But you know, before we get to Joshua 24, we've got Joshua 23. And it is cited a lot less than Joshua 24, verse 15, but there's a wonderful statement in Joshua 23, verse 8. In Joshua 23, verse 8, Joshua said to the people of Israel, you cleave, you hold on to, you cling to Jehovah your God. When we need to make a decision about leaving or staying, Joshua 23, Joshua 24 provide us with some helpful information. If the decision that we're making, if the decision that we are facing involves somehow our leaving God or forsaking God in spiritual things, if we're put into a position where one of two decisions will somehow cause us to hinder our spiritual life, Joshua 23, verse 8, Joshua 24, verse 15 provides us some insight on what to choose. Leave or stay choices should be evaluated in view of how both choices will affect our Christian life. Joshua 23 and Joshua 24 tell us that we want to make the choice which allows us to best proceed so that our relationship with God is not hindered in some way. Making God the priority, just like Jesus described in Matthew 6, verse 33, can often help us quickly find which choice is the right choice for us. Now sometimes as a person says, well, okay, this is clearly the right choice. This is the choice that's consistent with putting God first in my life. But Brad, I want you to know it is a difficult choice. Choosing the right thing, for me, seems to be almost an impossible choice. Well, it may be good in this lesson to remind us that right choices are always right. But right choices are not always easy choices. In a second Old Testament passage, which should be on your outline, 2 Samuel chapter 24, we have some information about David. Now David, in many ways, was a great man of God, but he was not perfect. David had come to the conclusion that Israel needed to be numbered, so there was a census among the people. And after the census, David had a visitor. There was this fellow by the name of Gad, G-A-D. Gad was a prophet. And this prophet of God goes to David and talks to him about the fact that he'd sinned. The census was wrong. Gad says to David, you need to face punishment. And Gad told David, you're going to face one of three punishments, and you get to choose, you get to decide which punishment you want. Option number one, David, is a famine. You and the people of Israel can experience a 7-year period of famine. And then Gad said, behind door number two is the option of fleeing from your enemies. If you don't want to have the 7-year famine, you can flee from your enemies for 3 months. Option number three. Gad said that we can deal with this by a severe plague. A severe plague can fall upon the land and it's going to last for 3 days. According to 2 Samuel chapter 24, verse 14, David was in a great strait. When we are put into a situation where we must decide if we're going to leave or stay, do not expect it to be easy. Even as a Christian, sometimes I think people, as they live the Christian life, they think, well, God is going to make all the decisions easy for me. That's simply not true. That was certainly not the case for David. Sometimes there are no perfect answers. Sometimes there are no easy answers, even if we're doing our very best to follow the will of God. So when we think about this, we've got two principles to help us when we come to leave or stay choices. But there's a third. Sometimes when we're in a situation where we've got to decide this or that, A or B, yes or no, leave or stay, one of the things that we need to try to do is simply wait. Midway through my senior year in high school, I decided to graduate and enter into the military. And at the age of 18 or 19, I began to be exposed to some people who would be the equivalent of civilian executives, only they were involved with the Air Force. As I watched, Still in my teenage years, as I watched these senior executives, quote unquote, function and act, there were several times where their behavior puzzled me and even frustrated me. At that time in life, I thought if a situation comes up, just deal with it. Make a decision, and then you move forward with it, whether or not that was a good choice or a bad choice. But that's not what I saw with these people who were a lot like civilian executives. I saw these men presented, and some of them were women, but typically men, I saw them presented with various issues. And as these issues arose, there were a number of times where they didn't deal with the issue. They would just take this paper and they would just set it here. And they'd grab another paper and set it there. And it looked like, in some respects, they were being lazy. It looked like they weren't trying to do their job and make some harder decisions. But you know, as I watch these people, I work with them 5, sometimes 6 days a week. As I watch these people, something seemed to occur again and again. Rather than really ignore the issues, they were simply waiting for additional details to unfold. They were waiting to see if additional situations were created that gave them some new alternatives. And I was able to witness over a period of 3.5 years how, as they waited, some time passed. Circumstances often changed. I can remember some situations where problems just disappeared because they waited long enough, circumstances were altered, and things just didn't have to be dealt with, or at least dealt with in the way that they previously thought they might have had to have been addressed. Those men long ago taught me about waiting. Now, we cannot, when we have a choice, yes or no, A or B, leave or stay, always wait or delay as long as we might like. But you know, the Bible endorses what those men did. Back in the book of Psalms, Psalm 37, verse 34 says, "Wait on the Lord." Now, that's from God. God says there are times where you need to wait on me. If you're expecting me when a situation comes up, if you're expecting me to act immediately, if you're looking for my help just like that, God says that's not always going to be the case. There can be, there will be, there are times when we simply need to wait on God. So if this week, or maybe tomorrow, maybe even today, we are put into a set of circumstances where we have to say yay or nay, yes or no, we are asked to either leave or stay, if we can wait a little bit, that may be the very choice. That's right. All too often, and we have expressions like haste makes waste, all too often people act hastily, and that turns out to be a bad decision. Thus, when we are faced with the kinds of decisions that we've talked about thus far, focus on God, pray, don't expect it to be easy, and try to wait with great patience. By waiting just a bit, we might find that our circumstances have drastically changed and we have some new and better alternatives. Another book in the Old Testament, Proverbs chapter 4, verse 26. If you have the King James translation, that verse begins by saying, ponder. Ponder. Think about, wait. When it comes to the path of thy feet, let all thy ways be established. Now, what I've laid out thus far is a lot like the message that Isaiah preached in Isaiah chapter 50. If you were to go through this chapter, especially verse 7, you would find that God, through Isaiah, is talking about some of the qualities that existed among his faithful servants. Isaiah said that the Lord Jehovah will help a righteous person. That is, we don't have to decide those things on our own. When we have that decision, yes or no, leave or stay, God wants to help his people. Isaiah said the righteous would not be confounded, verse 7. That same verse also says they're not going to be put to shame. God is going to help his people if they'll simply turn to him. Now, when it comes to a leave or stay decision, yes or no, this way or that way, we might feel confounded. We might feel like we're confused and we just don't know which way to go. We'd sure like God's aid. Isaiah the prophet said that this is something that God wants to help us with. If we want divine help, though, we need to be a person who has faith. Part of being a true follower of Christ, part of being a true Christian, is having faith. If you've been a Christian for very long, you've surely found some times when your faith has been tested. And when we're in a situation where it's leave it or stay, yes or no, this way or that way, sometimes our faith can really be tested. We wonder, perhaps, if God really has our back. Is God really going to help us see the right course in the set of circumstances? We might wonder if the promises of God, a topic we're going to look at tonight, will really come true for our set of circumstances. The next time that our faith is challenged, the next time that we're put into a situation where we've got to decide this way or this way, and maybe we've waited for a while, will God really help us? The answer is yes. The Hebrew writer talked about this in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. He said, God will never forsake you. The force of the Greek text in this passage is very, very strong. God will not, if we're trying to be his people, he will not, under any set of circumstances, forsake us. So wait in faith, Wait focused on God, knowing that even though it may be difficult, God will get us through. Paul talked about a similar thing in 1 Corinthians 15:58. He said, be always steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain. As I think about this topic, another passage that comes to mind, turning from the Old to the New Testament, is what Jesus described in the 13th chapter of John. Now this is where the Lord was having the final Passover with the apostles. Jesus was about to go to the cross, but the apostles were still concerned, they were still fighting over who was going to be the greatest in the kingdom. To show his disciples that humility was the right course, Jesus got a towel, girded himself. And the Bible says he began to go around and wash the feet of the apostles. In John 13, verse 8, we're told that Jesus came to Peter, and the Lord was preparing to wash the feet of Peter. Now you may remember that Peter refused. Peter said, you're never going to wash my feet, Lord. Jesus responded by saying, if I don't wash your feet, we don't have fellowship one with another. We don't have any association one with another. Now that statement caused Peter to change his mind. He reversed course. He said, Lord, I also want you to wash my hands and I want you to wash my head. Peter made a bad choice. He didn't wait. An impulsive decision, he just kind of popped off his mouth and said, you're not going to wash my feet, Lord. Didn't think to make the right choice. But he changed his mind. Thankfully, he reversed course. When we look at the topic that we're studying today, we need to bear in mind this point as well. Sometimes there are people who make a choice, I'm going to leave, I'm going to stay, and at some point they realize that that is the wrong choice. However, even though they realize they've made the wrong choice, they refuse to reconsider things. I know of a fairly prominent preacher who's working with a very prominent church. There was a health problem with a family member in this preacher's family, so he made an announcement about his resignation. I'm assuming that he talked to the elders and they talked that through, and he said, we need to go. We need to leave for another area of the country. And when the preacher made that announcement, I mean, the whole congregation just gasped. They just couldn't imagine that this fella would leave this congregation. Just before they left, they'd sold their house. There was a doctor that was either brought in for a second opinion or maybe a friend. I'm not sure exactly how that part of the story worked out. But there was a doctor that said, I want you to know that where you're planning to move to is the worst place for you to go. The best place for your family member is right here where you are in this state, in this area. Now here's a fella who was trying to move in a different direction with his family. He's made a decision. He thought he waited long enough. He got some bad information. And now he has to go back to the elders and say, by the way, I know I really shook things up. I know that I said I'm leaving. Could I have my job back? Well, thankfully, that fella was able to work with the elders, and they said, yes, we'd like you to stay. We'd like you to keep you. Now, that fella could have been a proud man. He could have said, I've made my decision. I've said that we're going to move. He'd already taken a job with another large or prominent congregation down south, and he could have said, we're not going to back up. He didn't do that. Here's a man who showed humility. So when we think about making decisions, if we say yes or no, or we're going to leave or stay, we need to bear in mind that there may be a case where even though we've waited, even though we've sought God's will, we've made the decision, it's not the right decision, and we need to consider reversing course. But there are some people who simply will not do that because of pride. If we're put into that position and we're not willing to back up, we have a problem. Back in the Old Testament, the book of Proverbs chapter 6 tells us that there are six things that God hates. Seven things are an abomination to Him. Do you remember how that list of things that God hates begins? Haughty eyes. That's another way of describing pride or arrogance, superiority, those kinds of things. If we've made a decision and it turns out to be the wrong choice and we are unwilling to back up as a parent, as a Christian, as an employer, as an employee, be sure that pride does not factor into our choice. Jesus warned about that, plus some other things, in one of his most familiar teachings, Luke chapter 15. Remember the story? It's that dad, he has two sons. There's the younger son, there's the older son. The older son decides that he's content to stay at home. The younger man, he makes a decision, makes it in haste apparently, or even if he did think about it, he finally comes to the wrong conclusion and decides, I'm going to leave instead of stay. The young man makes this choice. It's not a choice based on God and spiritual things. And he executes that choice. He travels to a place where he's now in a far country. He's spent all of his inheritance. Things begin to go badly for him. There's a difficult time in that far country. A famine sets in. The young man, Jesus tells us, began to feed pigs. He was hungry. He was so hungry he wanted the food that was fed to the pigs. No man gave him anything to eat. Eventually, this young man said to himself again, I have a choice. I have a decision to make. I can stay here, continue to work with the pigs, continue to endure this famine, continue to have all the hardships of life, or I can leave. Stay or leave, what's going to be my choice? That man decided to go home. He could have said, I'm going to be a proud person. I'm going to refuse to go back and humble myself before God and before heaven. He didn't make that choice. He decided in his mind, I need to leave. And I need to go back and say, Dad, I've sinned in your sight. I've sinned against heaven. And the Bible, as we read through that story, presents his return in a very positive way. Now, bringing this down a little closer to home. In most of the assemblies where Christians meet, thinking in terms of this specifically because it is the Lord's Day, I suspect that in virtually every single congregation, large or small, there is at least one person, or there is at least one family that's facing the kind of choice, that's looking at the decisions that we've talked about today. Somewhere in most congregations, there's going to be a person, maybe a family, that's asking themselves, the worship that I've been engaging in, my coming to honor God, should I continue in that? Should I stay? Or because there are some things that attract me in the world, should I leave? Should today be my last day? Should I continue to live the Christian life? Or is it time for me to turn to leave the faith for something else? Maybe when it comes to marriage. We have people throughout the earth, but certainly even in our congregation, should I stay in my marriage or should I leave it behind? And then there are people who are asking this question. Should I, because life seems so bad, should I preserve my life? Should I stay here on the earth or should I leave? Should I take my life? Choices about staying and leaving are made on a regular basis by the people of our world. And ultimately, God says you have free will. What you choose, what we choose is up to us. But God's Word gives us plenty of guidance. Clawing my way up a dirt hill about 8 years ago was not an easy thing to do. But it was the logical thing to do. And I believe it was the biblical thing to do. So in faith, I started to make that climb to the best of my ability. It was my thought, my attitude, that if God wanted me to continue to live, some way, somehow, it would be possible to get up that cliff. Maybe today, someone here, someone we know, figuratively speaking, is in that body of water. They're in the river. They're holding on to a couple of sticks, thinking, I need to decide, am I going to leave? Am I going to stay? My circumstances are very difficult. And we, or that person that we know, maybe it's a family. As their circumstances are being looked at, they're not sure if they can make it. They feel like this is going to be one of the hardest things they ever do. Well, if we know someone in that set of circumstances, if that describes us, do not be in a state of despair. It must have been so difficult for that young man in Luke chapter 15 to say, here I am, do I stay or do I go? I wonder how long he may have vacillated back and forth as far as that time that was needed to make that decision. Well, we know he made his choice. Jesus also tells us he made the right choice. And we can do that same kind of thing today by following the steps that have been outlined in this lesson. If you today have come here and you're struggling with the choices that we've talked about, should I leave or should I stay? And maybe you know which choice is right, but you're just having a hard time trying to pursue what's right. Help's available and help's free. There is the help from God, Isaiah chapter 50. But we also have other forms of help. If we're not a Christian, becoming a Christian is going to be the logical thing to do as far as getting help from God. So if we have faith, but we've never turned from sin, this morning we can confess Christ, we can be baptized in Him, Galatians 3:27, and then to begin to receive His help. But if we're someone who's been a Christian, maybe a short period of time, maybe a long period of time, and we're on that tightrope, if you will, trying to figure out which way is right, barely holding on. Should I leave? Should I stay? I sure wish there was someone to help me. There's a group of about 65 people here this morning. And I would dare say, if not everybody, the majority would like to encourage you, to pray with you and for you and help you. This morning, if you need help in the ways described or some other, we let us know and do that now as we stand and sing the selected song.